Hi, this is Matt Welsh with Spiritual Media Blog, and tonight I'm here with the director and producer of The Highest Task, Adam Schaumer. For director-producer Adam Schaumer, The Highest Task wasn't just about making a cool adventure film. On the contrary, Adam was looking for something more, something deeper. And as the saying goes, be careful what you wish for. Despite the fact that Adam had never ridden a motorcycle, he agreed to go on a motorcycle trip through the highest motorable elevation in the Himalayas. Adam, bring us up to speed. What's the movie, The Adventure, all about?
Yeah, the movie follows a daredevil yogi, a fearless yogi, Anand Malhotra, who's leading seven riders, including myself, on motorcycles through the Himalayas and over the highest road in the world, and basically taking the teachings and putting them to the pavement, into a modern adventure, and watching what happens when we push our buttons, not just hide in a cave. So, you know, we get to see the different levels and heights that people go to, and things, triggers that come up when you're on a real adventure. So it's this beautiful mix of beautiful scenery and adventure and heightened experience, and at the same time, deep teachings that I think we all can relate to, which is how to overcome fear, how to go beyond fear.
So, I mean, tell us about that maybe a little bit. Like, what was that like, and how did that play out when you were on the motorcycle in the Himalayas and you learned how to overcome fear? I mean, can you give us an example of how that played out?
Yeah, I think, you know, from the very moment, I was studying with Anand for a long time and one-on-one, and I was in India, and I remember clearly the day he actually said to me, hey, you want to ride motorcycles on this Manali Leh Highway, as it's called, and on this highway, we go over peaks, 15,000, 17,000, 16,000, you're going up and down these incredible passes. But I remember him asking me, and I was totally scared, but somehow said yes. You know, there was enough in me that wanted to be with my teacher, wanted to go to the Himalayas, and so I just said yes. And so really, when it comes to fear, the first part is, you know, we take these quantum leaps or these moments of, yeah, I'll do it. And then the next 8 months is the mind just coming in and saying, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're going to die. You know, you see yourself going over the cliffs, right? Everyone has these stupid visions of just sliding off the cliffs, running into that truck. And so I think we've all experienced it where we say yes to something or we know we should do it, and then the mind just keeps coming in. So every moment leading up to even being on the trip, these fears come in, and it's just a constant reminder of, hey, what's my intention? What am I really going for? And keep focusing on that. That's just the lead up. And then when you're on it, the fears we're encountering is, you know, in the words of experienced riders, it's 110% focus every moment for 14 hours on a motorcycle where trucks are coming right at you. There's cliff edges, there's altitude. And if you don't focus for a second, you're dead. You really are. These roads take everything and every bit of focus. So it's just real fear. It's some guy saying, hey, what if I get paralyzed and I can't do my career, or I got a family back home? It's real things coming up in your head, and it takes a lot to get through.
So what sort of advice would you give for people out there who they may have fears of taking a leap in their life, but they have their minds racing and telling them not to do that? What sort of advice would you give to people out there who have those type of fears, whether it's starting a new job or relationship or taking a trip to the Himalayas?
Yeah, or if you're 11 years old, right, in high school or in middle school, you know, I mean, I've had kids be like, yeah, last summer I was afraid. You know, any age can relate. And I think the first thing is to not be hard on yourself if the fears are coming up. You know, this is what the mind is designed to do. It seeks safety, and it thinks being afraid is a helpful device. You know, I want to seek security or control my life. So I think the first, you know, thing is to recognize it's natural and it's going to come up. And as Anand says in the movie, just have more love than fear. It's too much to ask to not be afraid. And it's really important so that we're not throwing guilt on top of it. So we're going to have fear. We just need a little more love. And that's, you know, so it's coming back to, hey, what do I really want? Focusing on the excitement of it, on the opportunity of it, rather than what could happen and quote unquote, the problems, and they'll be there, and they'll circle through the head, and just know we're in the same boat. All of us are doing it, even if we've been to the Himalayas and over the highest road, it's going to surface in my life in a different way, and I get to work on it again and watch it and just stay the course, if you will. So, you know, that's part one, and then I think part two would be just taking action against it. If you're afraid, take the opposite action. You know, step even deeper against that fear. Step and go ask the girl out in the coffee shop. Why not?
Yeah, it's a good
that's how I met my girlfriend. You know, just go ask her out, right? Just go for it.
Yeah, that's helpful. And you're also doing an online course for this movie. And what is the course and what's that about?
The course takes 7 teachings from the highest pass. And as you can imagine in the film, we can't take that long and go that deep into the teachings and wisdom from Anand. You know, there's pacing that we, of course, in a film and the story, and you want to keep it moving. And what we've been able to do is take the unseen footage, the deep wisdom talks from, you know, in the middle of an adventure, 15,000 feet at a lake after seeing wild horses in the Himalayas, and here's the 10-minute talk that Anand was giving us at that moment as we just battled through altitude sickness and we're still really all hurting. So we get the deep underbelly that's not really seen in the film for these people that want a little more. You know, the film is made to be accessible. And then for those that are like, this is speaking to me, I can hear more of it and I think it'd be helpful. We've relayed all this deep footage for you in a sweet course that comes once a week. And that way you can digest it and practice it in your life. And then you get the next 10 minutes along with some written word. So that's called Himalayan Wisdom for a Life Beyond Fear. It comes out through De Leon. It's already in the top, I think top 5. It is top 5 best-selling courses within a week.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. And you filmed again with Anand in the Himalayas. What is that TV series?
Yeah, we went back a couple years later, a new group of people, and we went to a different part of the Himalayas, to these 4 sacred sites, Badrinath, Kedarnath, Tungnath, and Hemkund. Hemkund is the highest Sikh temple in the world at about 17,000 feet, and there's a lake up there that people dip in, and it's freezing cold. And the Valley of Flowers. We went to the Hidden Valley of Flowers as well. So these sweet, sacred sites, again, motorcycle journey, the cliffs, the chaos. And we really took more time to unravel, or are taking more time to unravel, the characters and their lives. There's a couple that is on the verge of divorce and using Anand's teachings and the journey to help, you know, make or break. Should we be together? There's an old man at age 75 who hadn't ridden his bike in 40 years and is jumping back in. And it's really, really sweet to watch his journey and kind of the faith he has in himself. And, you know, not a lot of people at 75 that have been lawyers from that generation are really embracing, you know, quote unquote, this new spirituality or the yoga that's come over from India. And so that's really what's going on in the series, is our ability to take a deeper look at the characters, a deeper look at the teachings. And I mean, there's cool stuff going on. A monsoon hit us right at the beginning of the journey, and it's 3 weeks later than it should have been. It's wiping out roads. It's you know, we get caught in the monsoon, just having flash floods that are wiping out villages, and it's scary in its own way. So this one would definitely put people through the ringer, and we get to see again what happens when you take these teachings and actually have to implement them. You know, it's one thing just to hear it in the studio and say, cool. But when push comes to shove, where do people rise up?
Yeah, so it sounds like these people in the TV series are going on this trip to learn how to implement Anand's teachings in their life to, like, help with their relationships or their life, work. I'm curious to know a little bit more about you, why you initially agreed to. Did you have an intention set out when you first agreed to go on this trip? Was there something specific you were looking to work on in your life, or was it just open to a new possibility, or what was that like?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it wasn't a specific intention per se of, or goal, you know, or this is what if I knew exactly what was going to happen, right? I knew something needed to crack. I knew I was afraid of it. And what better way to kind of see what this next step in my life would be by than just really going at it. You know, in the practice of yoga, we tend to want to bring it up before it hits us in the face. And so that's what we do. We just go straight into our demons and go look. And the area we go to, Ladakh, is all about that. The Tantric Buddhism is where people face their demons. It's about bringing them all up. So I knew, I would say my intention was to bring up the demons, to look at my fears, and put myself in a situation where I could crack open, you know, to not be safe. And really, I think there's a part in the film where we go visit an oracle, and it became a little clearer at that point what my intention was, and I realized I didn't have a question for her as much as I did just want to listen and trust, hey, whatever is going to come through her, let that be, you know, please let it be the thing that I need to hear the most right now. And I think that's what the trip kind of became. It's like, what do I need right now the most? And let me be open to hear it rather than bringing my ideas to it. And it's not always the easiest thing to do, because if we, you know, if we want lentil beans, but it's a season for rice, you know, sometimes it pisses us off, right? We want lentils. And so we just did our best to kind of see what was being offered to us on the trip. And continual practice, right, Matthew? Just doing that in our own lives and see what's really coming up or coming to us right now.
Yeah, it is really kind of amazing. Just, you never know what sort of lesson we might learn or person we might meet. It teaches us something valuable we never expected to learn. And I know you do this type of work, but what's going on behind the camera with the crew on a journey like this? I mean, are they having an adventure too, or are they just working on the technical side?
They're so having the adventure, probably in a totally different way than people that kind of chose to be on this trip. Someone asked me, what's the hardest thing you're doing, making, because this is my first feature film also as a producer and director, and they said, what's the hardest thing, making a film for the first time or being a writer? I'm like, being a writer is the most hard, because I could die, you know, I could die. So, you know, the film is less hard than that. But these guys that are making the film are in the same situation. They also could die. So as much as they want to do a great job, their first thing is, hey, I got to stay safe. And so there was definitely pushback from these guys. You know, we think we're going to unsafe areas. And, you know, let me tell you, it's not easy to convince a crew to just listen to your guru and say, look, this guy knows what he's doing. I know he says he's, you know, listening to the mountains or talking to the mountains, and the mountains say, hey, we can pass, even though the officials say it's totally closed and snowed in. Explaining that to a crew is not easy when they're not in the same language, if you will. You know, they're not speaking the same language or don't have the same trust. So there's definitely pushback, and one of the crew got altitude sickness and had to be sent home. And so when they see something like that, there's, you know, a stirring amidst the crew. But in the end, I think, they learn. They can't not learn. They come through and they see that we always come through. They see that we make it. They see that they could push themselves more than they thought as well. And on the second one, at the Four Peaks, you know, my main cameraman, my main cinematographer was also in the practice. You know, he'd been studying yoga for a long time, and it showed. Like, he was really in it. He was up meditating with me in the morning early, and it set the tone for the whole shoot, as hard as anybody.
Yeah, I really, I like that message of overcoming your fears and trusting. But to sort of play devil's advocate, I mean, what would you say to people out there who might say, you know, sometimes these fears can be helpful? I mean, for example, maybe that crew member, if he was afraid to go out there, maybe he should have decided not to go, or somebody who's taken the decision in life, they might be afraid, and that fear might help prevent some harm. I mean, how do you distinguish between fears that are irrational and fears that are maybe there to protect us from something harmful?
Yeah, I think that's the exploration each person should do, is to ask themselves that question. I think it's a great question. Like, is this fear real, meaning it's survival, or is this something that's a little bit made up in my head, this fear? Because there's fire, there's a bear coming at you, you run. That's not a that's not fear. That's just, you know, instinct.
Kids.
I call it more, that's instinct to live rather than fear.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a desire to live. And this whole trip is really about that. It's, we have a desire to live, and to live is to grow and to go beyond. And it's the same, really the same thing that has you want to run away from the bear is because you want to live. And so it is an exploration to say, you know, is there anything really at risk? And as Anand's teacher says, you know, the one who's afraid is really dying every day. If you keep giving into these fears and giving them so much power, you're really dying every day anyway. So what's, you know, what's the big deal, right? If we're dying in some ways all the time by living in our fears, like, why not at least step out of them and start really living? And if you, quote unquote, something happens in the process, at least you're tasting freedom. At least we're starting to find what it means to live. And I think that exploration is worth the trade-off of staying protected.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And it also seems to open us up to a more joyful way of living when we let go of fears.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. And, you know, I mean, so it doesn't mean you have to go jump on a motorcycle. You know, that's just not smart. Or swim across the river when you know you're not a great swimmer. There's common sense. And so you can just instead, maybe your thing is, like I said, in a coffee shop or the new job, as you mentioned, or whatever it is. I think we know better than we think we do.
Yeah, that's great. So if people want to watch your film, what's the best way that people can watch it? Is it on Netflix or iTunes or your website?
Yeah. I mean, they can download on iTunes. They can stream on iTunes. They can buy the DVD if they prefer it, and like, you know, the great HD experience. They can stream it on Netflix or on iTunes. All these things, all those are available. So it's there now. It's out there. It was in theaters in the summer, and now it's digital.
Oh, great, great! And how about your online course? Where can people get access to that?
They could go right to the thehighestpath.com, where they could buy the DVD or stream. So at thehighestpath.com, we also have a link that takes you to the Daily Ohm site and gets you to the course. That's a way to get into it. If they know Daily Ohm, it's currently listed in the top five, called Himalayan Wisdom for a Life Beyond Fear. And for those people that are a little more inclined to want to know more and they've seen the film, they'll take it. You know, they'll really dig to know a little more what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. It sounds really interesting. And Adam, I really appreciate you being here with us tonight. We have a couple more minutes left. Do you want to leave our audience with any closing words or remarks?
Well, I did want to, you know, when we were talking about crew and this last shoot, my cinematographer, Scott Christman, I mean, he was on the back of my bike a lot. So, and sometimes without a helmet, holding a camera out to the side on a steady cam. And to speak to some of the behind-the-scenes faith and trust and practice that's going on, when you see this footage, that's all there. You know, it's inherent in the film. And in this last shoot, you know, I dropped the bike once with Scott on the back, and he saved the camera. You know, instead of dropping the camera, he holds the camera in tight to his body and lands on his body. And, you know, just a real shout out to him and the kind of commitment that he showed to help us make a film. And it really comes through, and I'm excited for people to see the Four Sacred Peaks eventually, probably a year from now is where it'll be. But in the meantime, they can check out The Highest Path. And I would recommend watching it with a friend so there's something to talk about after. It's really good with a friend or a loved one, because then it inspires some conversation, and that's what we're looking to do, is to inspire some conversation.
Yeah, and I imagine that footage is pretty amazing. I mean, for people who haven't seen that, it sounds like the camera is it right in your face when you're driving the motorcycle and riding up the Himalayas, or do you cut off and do like an interview on the side, or is it a little mixture of both?
It's a mixture of everything. We filmed with you know, for the producers and cinematographers out there, we filmed on a Canon 5D. And so we had amazing beauty shots, and at the same time we have the GoPros happening, so you get the point of view of right up the cliff edges and the water, and then guys on, you know, cameraman on the back of the bike filming, so you get these crazy angles. And then, yeah, we have interviews coming in and out and afterwards and during, you know, after a day's ride, after everybody's tired and freaking out about traffic. So you'll get a nice mix, and from what the reaction has been, it feels like a feature. It feels like a narrative, you know, a fictional film, really, because it's so well shot and the pacing is so fast. It doesn't really remind you so much of a slow, kind of not so well shot documentary. So I think visually, it's something I wanted to do. If you're going to these places, I wanted to really capture it and give people a chance to see Ladakh, which is, you know, known as a little Tibet, and the land formations up there are spectacular.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. I'd really encourage everybody to watch this movie. It sounds awesome. It sounds like a good mix of story and teachings and some great visual shots. So, Adam, thanks so much for taking the time to be here with us tonight.
My pleasure, Matthew. I appreciate what you're doing.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.